So that's State of Bengal, London DJ from India, and that song is Elephant Ride. Just a little bit, because as we plunge ahead, this is the coffee table. The time is 9:33 a.m., and the topic is seasonal depression, everybody's depression, and mental health outreach. Guests are Jay Bechtel from South Peninsula Behavioral Health Services, Lisa Fellows, school counselor for the Kenai Peninsula Borough School District, Sierra Moschios from the Rec Room, and Irene Saxton from Full Spectrum Health. Welcome back, everybody. I hope you got a minute to take a breath and move around a little bit, because I want to move the topic to coping skills. What are you guys doing right now to keep yourself feeling good? And who do you reach out to? So I'm going to start with Jay Bechtel from South Peninsula Behavioral Health Services. How do you keep the staff healthy? And how is it in terms of your staff healthy? Do you have a lot of people out right now with the virus, or just with just being out of work?
Oh, that's a jinx question right there. We have been very fortunate, knock wood, that we have not experienced any significant problems here. Certainly we've had people with seasonal colds, et cetera, but we've not experienced that. The staff here, it's like every place. There's a mixed variety of response to this. The federal government actually did a nice job with the CARES Act that provides for agencies like ours to provide days off, additional days off to people to help take care of kids, to help take care of themselves if they come down with disease, et cetera. We have a pretty robust PTO package, and this year we added in an extra mental health day for people. Just take that you wake up that morning and you don't feel like coming to work, call us and say, I'm not coming to work today, and no worries. Within that, we've made sure we've provided all the necessary protective equipment for our staff. We've provided all the necessary technology so they can work from home. They can work from wherever makes them feel safe. Certainly come into the office and work from here as well. Our cleaning protocols have changed drastically, so we're cleaning much more frequently. But really, as therapists and people working in this industry, you do have to remind this group to take care of themselves the way they remind the people they work with to take care of themselves. And people all have different ways of doing that. Certainly my Dr. Pepper intake has increased significantly over these last 8 months, as that's one of my coping mechanisms.
All right.
So.
Also, when you talk about healthcare providers definitely needing to get that reminder to take care of themselves, I think parents also need that reminder sometimes, because they're so focused on making sure things are right for their kids. But it's the airplane metaphor, right? You have to put the oxygen mask on yourself before you help anyone else.
That's right.
So I want Lisa Fellows, school counselor from Kenai Peninsula Borough School District. I do want to find out the same for you. How are you and your coworkers coping? And do you have any personal, like, what's your personal coping mechanism, or just something you do for yourself?
Yeah, thanks. Yesterday we had a statewide school counseling Zoom meeting on how to support staff and parents and students.
And what are they telling you?
I think
you?
The big thing is that we're experiencing grief. I mean, this is, we are experiencing what we've lost, and staff is going through all stages of grief. We've been telling people to take care of themselves, control what you can, just like was said earlier, and mostly live in the moment. Be thankful, gratitude lists, meditation, mindfulness. This is way too much to take on all at once.
Thanks for that reminder, because we absolutely do need each other in order to get through this. Irene Saxton from Full Spectrum Health. How is the staff, and what's there for you at Full Spectrum Health to help keep your mental health and to keep your mental health together?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we use a lot of supervision, which is, you know, just chatting with our staff and getting help with our peers, talking about things that are frustrating, talking about, like, you know, saying like, hey, I got this client and I just don't know what to do. It's really hard. It's hard to get them motivated. Do you have any tips? I'm at a wall. And so having that supervision, I feel, is really helpful, because then you can feel like energized to be able to help these people through these things that, you know, we're all going through. It's this really interesting time in being a therapist, because this is a time that everybody's going through the exact same thing. And so I don't feel like I've ever really experienced that before in being a counselor. So it's really interesting. So yeah, just supervision, using my peers, using all of the people I work with as just kind of like being able to bounce stuff off of, how I'm feeling, staying home and doing sessions from home if I need to, is really nice. And then also, you know, I've really increased my vampire novel reading, because I can't read anything or watch anything that has anything to do with anything that I'm dealing with. And so anything that is as far away from reality that I can get is the best.
What's the most current one you read, Irene?
Oh, gosh. You know, the Kate Daniels series. There's like 9 of them, yeah. And I'm on 8. So I have whipped through 2 series with, you know, 8 to 10 novels in each.
Finding, but, you know, something, a world, finding a world where none of this is happening, yeah. is
yeah,
good advice. Yeah.
Yeah. Vampires and shapeshifters. And, you know, Kathleen, I just wanted to mention really quick that we have also applied for a grant, and are working on getting a rapid COVID testing machine at the clinic. We realized that testing is something that, you know, the more we do, the more knowledge we have. And so, you know, when we get that machine in, I feel like that is kind of going to be a coping skill, because we will be able to, you know, frequently test our clients, frequently test ourselves. And it is, I feel like it's really going to help us to reduce that stress level that just comes with being somebody who's working with people frequently.
Thanks, Irene. I want to stay with you on this, and then we're going to go back through the panel, because I want to talk about expenses. When some people might be afraid to reach out, because they could be, a lot of people are out of work right now or working much less. And then there are the people who never had insurance. So can I start with you, Irene, with regard to Full Spectrum Health, about insurance that you take or expenses that people will incur? Mm-hmm. And where do you recommend people go who honestly don't have a dollar to spend on their mental health?
Yeah. Yeah. So we do take most major insurances here at Full Spectrum, for both mental health services and for psychiatric services, including Medicaid. So we could do that. And a lot of insurance copays have been waived for mental health services. So a lot of our clients don't have to pay that copay. For clients that do have either high insurance deductibles, or their insurance doesn't cover mental health services, or they just don't have insurance, we have a sliding scale fee of $65 an hour. And so that is considerably less than, you know, the going rate for mental health services. We do offer that. We also offer payment plans for individuals who can't even afford the $65 an hour. They can pay what they can. Once they get to a certain amount, we have to cap it. But, you know, as long as they're paying something, then we let them continue services, because we realize that that is incredibly important right now. We try and have it be pretty affordable across the board for all individuals.
And Jay Bechtel from South Peninsula Behavioral Health Services, can you talk a little bit about expenses?
Sure. I mean, we take all insurances, and of course, Medicaid, Medicare. We also, you know, if you can't pay, we are a state-funded program, so we take anyone that walks in the door, regardless of your ability to pay or your insurance. So No worries there. And you know, and I think there is something to that. I think there are people out there struggling or suffering that may not know support is out there at a cost that is affordable, whether it's full spectrum or whether it's us or whether it's your local therapist. And I would, if you're listening and you're not sure, I would reach out and just ask, because at this time, asking is probably more important than being able to pay for most places. And if you find, if you run up against a place where you can't pay, they can refer you to an agency in town where the fees are more amenable to what you can pay. So please find the way to reach out if you're feeling poorly right now, because there are agencies in town where the payment is not the important part. And that's what I'll say for us.
Thanks. And Sierra from the Rec Room, no expenses involved involved in getting into Rec Room activities, is there?
Sorry, Kathleen, you cut out on that last
Oh,
question.
I was wondering if there were any expenses involved in getting yourself aligned with the Rec Room and going to the chats and having and reaching out to the community at the Rec Room.
Nope, luckily everything at the Rec Room is free. I don't have to deal with insurance and fees. I just get to hang out with teens on virtual Zoom rooms right now and have fun. I did want to speak really quickly to our staff self-care, though.
Go ahead.
Luckily, I work for Catchmike Bay Family Planning Clinic, and we take self-care and self-soothing really seriously for our staff. We practice what we preach. When we go into the classrooms and we talk about body regulation, and knowing your emotions and how to deal with that, we also do that on a day-to-day basis with the staff. We have meetings on Thursdays and Fridays where, shout out to my coworker Tyler Schliemann, guides us through a body regulation where we can all slow down, take a breath, acknowledge where we are in that space or that emotion we're feeling, and then move forward with the worky work stuff.
Oh.
So
Well,
I'm
Tyler is
really
a
happy and lucky.
volunteer. Tyler's a volunteer DJ at KBBI. We're hoping to get him back on the air soon, remotely. So you send our love from KBBI to Tyler.
I will.
Now, Paul is on line one, I believe. Paul, are you there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Go ahead, Paul.
Hi, this is Paul Seaton. Yeah, hey, I was just wondering how we are integrating the studies that we found that, like the Caspian 3 study that had 1,000 adolescents, and they looked at their vitamin D levels in relationship to the youth behavioral study, and they found that those that were insufficient or deficient in vitamin D had twice the level of worry, poor quality sleep, and anxiety, as well as the study from the, well, the bulletin from the state epidemiology number 27 that shows that over time, you know, our population, especially in younger folks, has decreased significantly. And so I'm just trying to figure out whether we're addressing all aspects of the problem.
Thank
Thanks.
you. Also, that's also on my list in terms of dealing with lack of light and isolation. Jay Bechtol from South Peninsula Behavioral Health Services, what's your line on vitamin D?
Oh, not just vitamin D. Well, that's a good one. But yes, getting outside, especially these last few days where you have some sunshine for the day, even though the sunlight at this time of the year is not going to provide you with the vitamin D, being outside and being in the sun is helpful. Your nutrition, the things that you eat, the things that you do, the exercise, all of those additional things, and vitamin D is an important part of that, are all important to your mental health as well as your physical health. So, absolutely find those things that are supportive to what your body needs. And our clinicians and our DSPs work closely with the people we work with to make sure that they are working with their doctors to get those kinds of things. So it's going to vary from person to person, but yes, find those things that help you and access them.
Well, when I first moved
Good
to a
call from Paul.
Thanks, Paul. When I first moved to Alaska, it was recommended to me in the winter. Like, oh, it's your first winter here. Why don't you try this vitamin D? And I found that it was so helpful to me that I just take it all year round now. Now, I want to get, it's about that time. We're about 12 minutes out. So I want to ask this question, and I'm going to start with Lisa Fellows from Kenai Peninsula Borough School District and Sierra, and then I'll go back to Irene and Jay. But the first situation is, what do you recommend someone do or say if they have a family member or a friend that they perceive to be experiencing depression, but that person is not reaching out or is denying that there's a problem? So, Lisa, can you talk a little bit about your strategies for that?
Yeah, that's a really hard one. I do reach out. I do talk to kids. I talk about how they're feeling, and I validate their feeling. You know, we tell parents that if they have a concern, go get help. We've had some kids go straight up to the hospital when the parents are concerned, and that was the right call. So I don't know if people really know that they're in depression when they're there, and I think it's important for people to support them in trying to get help.
Thank you. That's Lisa Fellows. Then the next part of this question, I'll get this to everybody, is what do you recommend if someone does confide in you that they're having suicidal thoughts? So Jay Bechtel from South Peninsula Behavioral Health Services, you want to take that one?
Sure. So if it's someone that's in your circle, you need to tell someone else. It's not your job, even if you are a professional, and it's your own kid that comes to you. You need to tell someone else, because you're not able to assess that person. You need a professional. You need to go to the doctor. You need to go up to the hospital, the ER. You need to call us. Our emergency line is open 24/7, and speak to a professional that will get you to a place where they can assess you and determine how at risk you are, what your danger level is, what kind of support you're going to need for the next 24, 48 hours. So absolutely tell someone else. Don't think that you have to solve the problem. And that goes for professionals in this field. When it's someone close to you, you have to reach out and get help too, because you're so invested in the person as a friend, as a child, as whatever, that you lose sight of your professional capacity. So that's my first recommendation. Back to your first question, which is a bugger of a question. How do you get someone help that isn't recognizing their symptoms or recognizing their need for help? And boy, that's a tough one. And a lot of times, just being available and being willing to be the bad guy and saying, look, I know you're saying you're not feeling good. I know you think you're not feeling bad, but you need to get some help. And you have to be willing to get them somewhere where they can get help and be the bad guy. And that's a tough one, because you want to be helpful and supportive, but at the same time, they need that help. So you've really got to take things to a different level and say, you've got to get up to the hospital.
Right.
You've got to get into the center.
You're reaching out to someone, if you're the person who's doing the reaching out, then you have to remind yourself that you're probably not going to get a hug and a thank you.
That's exactly right. At some point later in the future, you will.
Right. If you've got of Hallmark scene in your head about
what's
going to happen.
That's right. It's not going to happen. Yeah. That's right. But your concern at that point is that person's well-being, and you've got to take that into account. So, yeah, it's a challenge. It's a tough one.
Thanks so
much.
It's
a great question.
So I want to thank everyone for being here today. It's time for me to go around and get some final comments or things that perhaps Sierra Moskios from the Rec Room. Thank you so much for being here. Now, is there anything you came here to say when you knew the topic was depression and mental health outreach that you feel like we didn't touch on, or just anything that you feel like needs further explanation?
Sure. Right now, kids are having a hard time because they can't go to school and connect with their friends. They're lacking in social connection, but we still have ways to connect with people. There's still technology. We are offering 3 virtual hangouts to help these teens and youth deal with their isolation and come and connect with their peers. And we know right now, especially right now, that LGBTQ plus youth are at high risk because they deal with a lot on a day-to-day basis, but they also spend an average of 45 minutes more on social media and online than other kids do because they are seeking a safe space.
They're looking for community.
They are looking for a community. Wednesdays, we have a LGBTQ plus group, and that is from 4:30 to 5:30. You can email me at recroom@kbfpc.org for more information and for that Zoom link. Additionally, we have a middle school hangout on Tuesdays, and that's from 5 to 6, as well as our Thursday hangout from 5 to 6. Feel free to reach out to me, and I can connect you or your teen in your life to the Rec Room so that they don't feel alone.
Thanks so much. That's Sierra Moskios from the Rec Room. Irene Saxton from Full Spectrum Health. How about you? Is there anything that you would like to say in closing?
Sure. Yeah. You know, Kathleen, we've just noticed that anxiety and depression are up across all populations that we work with, you know, and all stressors are increased, you know, but it is more prevalent in those marginalized populations as there's less access to resources. And so, you know, if anybody has any questions or is listening right now and wants to talk to somebody, I'm here for all day. So if you want to call, you can. Our phone number is 235-2102, or you can email me at irene@fullspectrumhealthak.com. If you have any kind of questions, if you have questions about our services, please reach out. We do, we are, you know, an LGBTQ facility, but we see everybody. And we just like to let people know that we do look at those, you know, we look at everything through those different lenses, you know, looking, using feminist therapy, using queer therapy, using all of these different theories that a lot of people can benefit from because, you know, it's just these awesome theories. But if anybody has any questions, please reach out and we can try and get you help.
And also Lisa Fellows, school counselor from the Kenai Peninsula Borough School District. Do you have any final comments or any final outreach?
Yeah, I really want to say thank you to Sarah, Irene, and Jay. Their support in this community is huge. People can contact me at either the high school or the middle school, or email me at lisa.fellows@g.kpbsd.org. And I think the big thing that I want to just tell people is I'm seeing a lot of what ifs, like anticipatory grief of what might happen. And you don't have control over that. So let's just focus on what's going on today and what you do have control over. And again, reach out to us.
Well, thanks.
We are there to help.
Thanks so much. That's Lisa Fellows from Kenai Peninsula Borough School District. And last, it's Jay Bechtel from South Peninsula Behavioral Health Services.
Sure. I would just suggest reaching out to any of the agencies that are here today, your local pastor, any of the other agencies, your school counselor. There's so many people to reach out to. I'd also could throw out a text number. You can text HOME to 741-741 anywhere in the United States. And that is a crisis reduction center, and they will help you get through a crisis. They'll get you from that hot mode down to hopefully a cool mode. So just that's a good resource for everyone. We are open 24/7. You can call us and talk to a counselor any time of the day or night, and you know, and reach out to anybody you can think of. So that's my advice.
Well, thanks so much.
Don't be afraid to reach out.
To the entire panel, Jay Bechtel, Lisa Fellows, Sierra Moskios, and Irene Saxton, thank you all for being here today. You'll be able to access this edition of the Coffee Table this evening, tomorrow morning, at kbbi.org, and it will include links to all of the organizations, and I'll see if I can't get that text number into the text of it as well.
That'd be great.
So you have been listening to The Coffee Table here on KBBI AM 890. I'm Kathleen Gustafson. Thanks to everyone for being a part of the show today. And everyone be well. Thank you so much to all
Thanks,
the panelists.
Kathleen.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Thanks.
Bye. Thanks.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.